You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And now we have got Alia here, who has just been just had an exhibition showing, which is you still can see the next few days in Ngāti Poti at Blue Oyster, and it's called Anamnesis. How you doing, Alia?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I just accidentally didn't turn your mic on, but there you go. Now we're good. sorry, I'll say that again. How are you? Yeah. You're doing great? Cool.
I'm good. Yeah.
So for people who might not have heard of some of your work before, do you think you could give us a bit of a rundown of what kind of creative mediums you work in and what sort of stuff you tend to get up to?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm mostly a video artist, although I do some other stuff as well, but that's kind of my main bread and butter. Lots of media stuff, and this new work that I've made is a game that has a sort of like a text adventure game that has lots of video elements in it as well. Mm-hmm. And I've been, making art for probably like over a decade now. Mm-hmm. My practice tends to focus on queer and trans histories, and kind of taking that position as a way to examine language and experience. This work is a little different in that I'm not working with a specific history, but
Cool. And actually, one of the first things I noticed about it, what is Anamnesis.
Anamnesis, yeah.
What is that? How did you choose that title? What's that mean?
Well, it's actually a word that's been floating around in my mind for a while. Like this work, the way that I make, I sort of like have ideas that percolate over like a few years or whatever. And this is one of those. I sort of came to the word because it has multiple meanings. The literal meaning is to recall a memory. But there are other meanings. The anamnesis is the name for the part of the Eucharistic prayer where you recall the trials of Jesus.
Cool.
So it's part of the transubstantiation of the wine into the blood and the cracker into the body.
Mm.
And this work is about pain. And anamnesis, the other meaning of it is it's a medical term for when a patient gives an account of their medical history, like a personal one.
True.
So sort of like history taking with a new doctor. Yeah.
Cool. I totally could have Googled that, but you did a much better job explaining. cool. No, that's really, really interesting. And then I guess like when I went in and checked out the exhibition, you're kind of sitting in this I don't know, I imagine it like a drapery kind of womb that like you kind of sit and chill inside of while you get to experience the piece of art. And you kind of described it as a game, but it's kind of like an interactive poem. How did you like come up with that idea, but also when you went to making it, did that mean that you approached it like more as a digital thing, more as a language thing, more as like a poetry thing, like what was it like kind of disambiguating those different bits or even just coming up with what parts to be creative about or what parts to be, you know?
Sure.
Something else.
So when I first thought about making this work, I actually didn't know that it was going to have any interactive elements. I had something completely different in mind, which was about it was going to be a film, and I had this idea for this character that was going to be in it, but very quickly it sort of came to me as I started thinking about all the things to do with pain and language and metaphor that I wanted to look at, that actually this like format of creating a game, a text adventure game, was going to work quite well, or an interactive film, or I call it a few different things, but you know what it turned out to be. And I'd actually made one before a few years ago that had no moving image, but it was like a I would say like a piece of hypertext fiction. And I'm always someone who I'm really interested in poetry and language, and that was kind of part of what I did my master's on as well. So it's something that's always with me, this idea of language and poetry and how we can use language in those poetic ways and what that means. And so, yeah, it just felt like the right medium to do. But I also knew that I wanted moving image in it as well. And I wanted, as much as I wanted the language to be poetic, because talking a lot about the metaphors that we have for pain and mm-hmm. how we can kind of expand those or think about other ways of describing and therefore thinking about pain. And I wanted the kind of moving image just as much as the words to stand on their own as like as metaphors, if that makes sense. So the images are quite abstract, and a lot of the languages too, but trying to get us to think differently, hopefully, and experience pain differently.
Cool.
In all of its aspects.
Yeah, I liked there's some moments where, you know, the words are so faded behind like a kind of haze or something, and you get to you're kind of straining to look at it and you're wondering, is it going to get easier to read? And then it kind of doesn't. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, no, this is, I just have to, oh yeah, that's what that's. It kind of makes me think of that pain kind of experience where there is strain or like struggle or things that aren't as obvious, and you can kind of read something wrong initially and then like figure out what it says, but that kind of leaves some of that open-ended interpretation. And it sounds like maybe that's something you did like kind of exploring, is that there's an open-endedness to how people, especially when it comes to language, which sounds like a big thing you're interested in. Is that something where you think about a narrative that you're expressing, or are you trying to think more about ways to open up different kind of pathways for other people to kind of come up with their own stories or interpretations and stuff?
I guess when I'm making it and when I'm thinking about the words, I'm actually trying to feel it, if that makes sense. Like, I'm trying to feel like, okay. And I did that a lot. Like, the way this work started was with this just sort of like multi-page Google Doc that was just me sort of like writing down ideas. But a lot of that was focused on, okay, what kind of language can I use that makes me feel the way that I'm feeling. And I think that language is also one of those things that is both, you know, perfectly descriptive and also never descriptive enough. It's like both freedom and a prison, kind of, you know, having those dualities a lot, thinking about this work, because pain itself, the experience of really intense pain can be quite overwhelming. And I think a lot of the times it actually is very difficult to talk about in language, describe. It's one of those experiences that's super hard to pin down with language, and we almost exclusively talk about it in metaphor. We don't really talk about it in any other way. So,
cool. No, very, very interesting. And so you put this on at Blue Oyster, which is very exciting to have down here in Otipoti.
Yeah, so awesome.
I was wondering what it's been like, I guess, going to different cities to set up different art pieces, and like if you get a different feel in different cities from like interacting with the communities around it, or response you might get to stuff, but also if like that has come to affect your work much when you've been, you know, touring art, I suppose, if that's the right word, or like, you know, traveling around and meeting and presenting the different communities. Yeah.
That's interesting you say that. I haven't really thought about other places that I've been, but definitely in Otipoti, my feeling and my sense is that audiences are really engaged and I love it. And people have a very, like I found even at the opening, or the way that people are in Otipoti, I guess, in my experience of just being there as a visitor, is people are really keen to get involved, and audiences are very, just like willing to participate in anything or engage with something that they maybe normally wouldn't, which I don't think is the case for everywhere else in New Zealand. Yeah. So I loved that. And obviously I've wanted to show at Blue Oyster for a while. It's, you know, one of those longest running artist run spaces. And so it was like quite a privilege to be able to put this work on, and had so much great support from Pew Pew and Jordan.
Yeah, cool.
And Simon, who was the previous director I was working with too, to kind of like make the work happen. But yeah, I guess it is different everywhere you go. Audiences are always different. And I think it depends on the context, you know, the like institution that you might be with versus a kind of smaller gallery or a pop-up kind of thing. All changes, I think. Like how the audience is, or how they might be made up, or
yeah,
all those things.
Cool. And then maybe moving on to some of the stuff that you're working on, or that we can look forward to or expect to see in the future as well. What's what are you maybe, I don't know how much you're allowed to say about any projects you're working on in general, but what are your current kind of ambitions or plans or interests, or maybe even just some mindsets you've been moving into with creativity?
Yeah, sure. I'm thinking a lot at the moment about something. I'm returning to something that I've sort of already looked at, which is like particularly trans people's relationship historically to ideas of magic or esoteric forms of knowledge.
Cool.
And especially thinking about forms of protection magic. Mm-hmm. And I've been quite inspired when I was in Otipoti to see some works of Marilyn Webb's at DPEG, the Protection series.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that really generative for thinking about the things that I've been thinking about, especially in relation to how the world is right now and all the bills that are being passed that are transphobic. Mm-hmm. And sort of thinking about what I can offer or kind of offering up a kind of balm.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing, like being an artist as a role of like social service, and like if there's any kind of, you know, what level of tangible kind of practical help you can be to, you know, it's like, it's easy to say in abstract that art's good for people or good for society and stuff, but then like sometimes it feels more and more desperately needed to be like one step higher or I mean, I suppose you see a huge amount in arts and creative communities at the moment, like raising money for certain charities, like, I mean, Palestine stuff is probably one of the most common ones we see, which is really, really cool, but there's also other like quite necessary charities or issues in like New Zealand politics that that it turns out the arts community just has to kind of cover now. do you see yourself as like I guess try like relating to that, or relating to different ways to approach the art as political, I suppose?
Yeah, I don't know. I have funny feelings about it, but I do sort of feel like art is, it can be political, you know. But I also think that institutions and the current system of art is also very aligned with capitalism.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not a complete pessimist, and I do kind of, you know, perhaps naively hold on to the idea that art can be transformative, or it can at least, what I hope that it does and what I always want to do with my work is like offer something up that is like a different way of thinking or a different way of experiencing something that otherwise people maybe wouldn't normally come across in other contexts. And I think that is the great thing about art, and particularly about contemporary art, is it kind of can be anything. And we put it in these galleries and people experience it in the way that we show it to them. And so, yeah. But I guess also as a person, like I do kind of align with the values of, you know, moving towards social change and social justice for the better.
Yeah, there's no right answer. I gave you the worst question there. Trapped you and be like, oh, I guess I'll do something to help her.
It's good for me to like verbalize my thoughts on
I've probably asked the questions the wrong way around, to be honest, because normally I'd like to say like where your influences and stuff came from initially, but I also would be keen to hear about what some artists that have maybe inspired you to some extent, but also even just kind of things in your environment and in your practice have inspired you or like helped your practice or the mediums that you're involved in kind of change over the course of your arts creative career or creative life.
Interesting. Yeah. For this particular work and for other works that I've made, there's an artist called Porpentine who makes a lot of games on the same platform that I use to make them on Twine. Mm-hmm. And their games are really amazing. Mm-hmm. And that sort of like inspired me to get involved in that world.
Cool.
But also, I don't know, there's a lot of artists I return to and that I feel like have really formative influences on my thinking about stuff, especially Wu Tsang, who's an American artist. And I would say There's an artist, Carrie Mae Weems, as well, a photographer, as well. I have a book of hers that I always sort of like find myself flicking through when I'm thinking about a project. And I find her work is super rich and layered. And she uses language a lot in really interesting ways as well. And I'm also really inspired by film in general. And like as a medium, how it can kind of elicit so immediately like these very visceral responses sometimes. I really like horror movies for that reason. Also, also a kind of like melodramas and tragedies. Attracted to those kinds of movies. So
cool.
Yeah.
Any favorite movies you've seen recently?
This year?
Yeah. Or recently.
On spot. In general. Yes, there have been some. President's Cake, I saw at the film festival. I really loved.
Cool.
That was a really, really great one. And there was another one, Cactus Pears, which was a very understated gay romance in India, which was really beautiful. Weapons as well.
Okay.
The horror movie that came out earlier this year.
Yeah, I heard of it, but I haven't seen it. It sounds cool.
It's a lot of fun. And I think that director is like... he like tells stories so well.
Cool.
Like the way that the story is told from all these different perspectives sort of, it's just done very well. So I would say that.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the radio. I really enjoyed your show, and I hope that this helps inspire some other people listening to go and check it out. But have you got any kind of last words? You can throw out some advertising, convince someone to go to check out the exhibition, or even just last words for the people of Otipoti.
I don't know, I would just say like please go and check it out. We've tried to make the space as comfortable as possible. The work is quite intense as well, I will say that. But I think we also have a whakatau space next to the work that people can just go and chill. But I think if you've ever thought about going to see it, just go and see it. I think Saturday is the last day.
Cool. Awesome. 100% agree. Go check it out. Alia Winter's Anamnesis.
You got it.
Nice. Cool. Thank you so much for joining us, Alia, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, you too.
Cool, awesome. That was Alia Winter there. Go check out their show on at Blue Oyster. Ends on Saturday. We're going to roll into some of lovely...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.